Are you sports with Coach Brent Indest? Brought to you by Mecca Restoration, Babineau Family Dental, Harris Heating and Cooling, Action Specialties, LA Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Hike, Mindale, Grubbs, and Dalbar, Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation, Arsenal Ford, The Quarter Tavern, and Gator Gear Customs. And now, here's Coach Indest.
Welcome and good morning. Turbo, I'm gonna tell you a bedtime story.
All right, I don't have any hot warm milk, so go ahead.
Once upon a time, there were two teams, Team A and Team B. They played each other in week one, and Team A just throttled Team B. And everybody thought that Team A was just so wonderful and Team B was so horrible.
I hear you.
And then a week later, Team A played Team C. And got throttled by Team C. And Team B played Team D. And Team B throttled Team D, who everybody thought was supposed to be pretty good.
So that's an isosceles triangle.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Oh, Lord. So the Packers just shut everybody up, I think.
Yeah.
They should have last night. My goodness, if anybody has Aaron, whoever has Aaron Jones on their fantasy, Aaron Jones, 17 carries, 67 yards and a touchdown, 6 catches, 48 yards, 3 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers has a typical Aaron Rodgers night. Got sacked 3 times. Yeah. He normally avoids those, but 22 of 27, 255, 4 touchdowns. And look, Detroit, how good is Detroit? I do think Detroit's better. I think this new coach has them going in the right direction.
I think you're
they
right about
played,
that.
I mean, had a lead at halftime. I would assume the schedule gets better for Detroit as time goes on, being that they hadn't been good. But it does look like Goff, has something to prove. And he 26 of 36, 246 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Oh, you could always pick. Yeah, he could always throw the football. That's not the issue, you know.
Yeah. Good-looking tight end that he's got. They were talking about Gronk and the Mannings were talking about him. Hockerson, 8 catches for 66 yards. But the Pack prevails 35-17. I ended up falling asleep in the middle of third quarter. Checked out the final stats this morning, but it just goes to show you, man, in the NFL, they're all so good. And we're going to go over in a second and look at the 2-0 teams, the 0-2 teams.
I've always thought the NFL, the difference between the NFL and the players is coaching, period.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. They're all about the same.
And my deal is difference makers. The quarterback position has become so important. To give you a chance. So important. And I'll tell you that, and defensively it's not as much, but, having those corners that can lock up and afford you to be able to blitz a little more and give you more exotic looks. But you're right. There is a lot of parity in the NFL, and that's the way the whole draft system is set up.
That's right.
Free agency did tilt things more toward – your big-time franchises who have more money, the people who have more money.
But also the salary cap puts that in limitations.
Yes, that does help. But Green Bay just basically told everybody out there, last week was an anomaly. The Saints weren't that good and we weren't that bad. And we're going to do what the Packers do. And I'll tell you, it'll be – interesting to see as it rolls on. If they do well, how dug in is Aaron Rodgers in his disdain for
the
general manager?
I heard somebody say, is that his last Monday night game in Green Bay?
Could be. So when you look at, there are a lot of, there are a lot of 1-1 teams right now in the NFL. So what you've got, you've got, let's see, that's 7 2-0 teams and 7 0-2 teams.
That makes sense.
Okay, and the rest 1-1, of course. this is my question. I want to go through the 2-0s and let's decide who's the best and the worst 2-0.
Okay.
Then we're going to go through the 0-2s and decide who's the best and the worst 0-2.
That makes sense.
All right. So you got the 2-0s. Now, to me, definitely in the running for the two worst 0-2 teams are both two teams that are sitting atop the AFC West.
Okay.
The Broncos and the Raiders.
Okay.
You got Teddy B.
That's right.
Leading the Broncos, former Saint. Everybody loves Teddy B.
Yeah,
How can you not love Teddy B? Always stepped up when the Saints needed him to step up.
He did.
I think there's a lot of Saints fans right now that would love to have Teddy B.
Right now, you're
maybe
right.
Not after week one, but after week two.
Absolutely.
What do you think the poll difference would be with polling Saints fans? Would you like to have Teddy Bridgewater back after week one? I think that would have probably been about 20%.
Yeah.
And then how would you like Teddy Bridgewater back after week two? You're probably 75%.
It might even hit 80.
Over in the West, you've got three 2-0 teams in the AFC West.
Yeah.
The NFC.
The NFC West, yes.
Yeah, NFC West. You've got the Niners,
mm-hmm.
the Rams, and the Cards.
Yep.
Man, they're going to come back. They're going to start calling the cardiac Cards again.
Yeah,
but
it could be.
Kyler Murray they had an article. It's way too early talking MVP for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I tell you, we had certain rules against certain quarterbacks. And you almost hate to tell NFL defensive ends and outside linebackers to follow this rule, but you may have to against Kyler Murray. We had certain rules against certain quarterbacks that the first guy get there, do not try to tackle him.
Really?
Stop 2 yards in front, set your feet, get your hands up, and wait for the cavalry to come. Make him move. Flush him to somebody else. And then we're going to gang tackle the guy.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that is a way of playing that type of quarterback because he's more elusive. He is far more elusive than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's not even close. Now, don't get me wrong. Lamar Jackson is a better runner because he's a big guy and he can run. But as far as being elusive, Fran Tarkenton type, just buying time, buying time, buying time, and then eventually you're going to lose somebody in coverage and find a guy wide open.
And he's accurate on the run.
Oh, absolutely. He's been doing it probably since he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is a way of playing it because I'm sitting there watching him scramble around. And when you're – okay, so the defensive end, he's taught, okay, tackle, you know, attack the back shoulder, you know, contain rush. But you just – he'll do the big loop-de-loop and completely just go around you. He'll lose ground to get around you, which he can – and you're not going to touch him. They just whiff him. They fall down. The Bucks and the Panthers in the South, both 2-0. I mean, gosh, dog it. Okay, so we're going to say, except for the Bucks, who's the best 2-0 team? You can't count the Bucks.
You can't count the Bucks.
Yeah, so I'm going to let you go first. Other than the Bucks, we'll say other than the Bucks.
So
we got Niners, Rams, Cards, Panthers, Broncos, Raiders.
Niners, Rams. Boy.
It's not rocket science here, Turbo. Yeah, come on, no, man. Give me an answer.
I like the Rams.
Okay. I like that. I like that pick. I'm not hating on that pick. I think the Cards. I'm going to go with the Cards. And not a whole lot of conviction in that, but I do think that the Niners, Rams, and Cards all – are right in the same boat. I do not. Okay, so going back. So let's move. So now I think we've thrown it out there. Who's the worst? So the worst is going to be out of the Panthers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to say the Broncos.
All right. Yeah, I can imagine that. The Broncos playing with Teddy and not sure. What were the Broncos last year? I kept trying to remember.
I want to say 500 or below.
Yeah. I'm still not sold on the Panthers, even though their running back is outstanding and all. I'm not sold on Darnold yet.
Yep.
They beat the Jets by 5 points.
Yeah, that is unimpressive. And now going to the 0-2, we'll start with the Jets. So you've got in the AFC, you've got the Jets, the Colts, and the Jags, all 0-2. In the NFC, you've got the Giants, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Falcons, the Dirty Birds. So, again, I'll let you go first. Who's your worst Let's start with worst. Who's your worst 0-2 team in that group?
Until the Jets win a game, they're not going anywhere.
I'm gonna go. I think it's Jets and Jags, and it's close. But I'm gonna go Jags.
Well, the Jags didn't have an honorable showing.
They did.
The
they
first
did.
Game.
They did. But I'm gonna go with Jags. I will say this: not a fan of Urban Meyer. Just I don't know, but I respect him as a coach. Urban Meyer. When you got to start worrying about Urban Meyer is when they've just won the Super Bowl, and he's not motivated anymore. He's admitted it.
I can believe that.
That's when he starts not that he's not motivated, he just starts getting all screwed up in the head. I just really think this guy's going to be grinding his tail off.
A lot of work to do. But look at Saban didn't have any – Nick Saban didn't have any luck in Miami, and I mean –
But, they were better. They were better than people thought. They beat the Patriots a couple times. They were a 500 team. It was all about the quarterback. And Tina and I watched A Football Life last night. We had taped it.
Yeah, I watched it the night before.
Yeah, and he came out, just admitted it. He said when Alabama offered the job, he said all we needed in Miami was to fix the quarterback situation. We didn't fix it.
It had a chance to.
Yes. He passed on Drew Brees. We talked about it before. Derek Dooley told us that story in 2007, and it finally matriculated to the media in like 10, 11, 12 when people really started talking about it. But Derek came out and said, he said, I'd still be in Miami. He said, we'd all still be in Miami if we'd have taken Drew Brees, but our doctors told us that there's a 50% chance he'll never throw another pass.
Yeah.
And they went with the science. They went with the doctors.
Well.
Boy, is that not an overused term these days?
Yeah, you're right.
So best 0-2 team. I'll let you go first on that one as well. I mean,
the rundown again of the
so Giants, teams. Vikings, Lions, Falcons,
Pooh.
Or Colts.
Pooh. The Vikings have it. They've got beaten both of their games pretty close, but man, they.
Yeah, I'm saying Vikings.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's even close. I really think that the Vikings still could be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Now my heart tells me the Giants, but man, the Giants just.
I'm with you. Jason said the offensive line is horrible,
yep.
And they've got some quarterbacks got some issues. Even though he played well a couple times, but it's still
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and then anyway, we'll see.
We're talking about Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. With the Vikings, yes. And he threw for got gazillion yards the other day.
Cousins.
Yeah. For the Vikings, but they got beat.
I missed a 37-yard field goal.
Yeah, got beat by the Cards. I think it was 35-34 or something like that.
Yep. So, to finish off, last night again, I watched the Peyton / Eli.
I did too.
Broadcast. Peyton is gonna, and I know he already realizes it, but he's gonna realize it even more. Peyton is a candid guy. He's just going to talk. But when Peyton Manning comes out and talks about how they used to not talk scheme in the locker room when they played the Patriots in Foxborough because he was worried it was going to be bugged and that they would have all their conversations in the shower, it makes people talk. I mean, I'm telling you, it is on fire in social media, talking ESPN. About Peyton, tongue-in-cheek, but talking about how they did not trust having any type of conversation relative to the game plan in the locker room in Foxborough.
That's strange to me.
That's a pretty big accusation there.
Yeah, it is.
And he's laughing and telling it, and that's what makes watching he and Eli so much fun. You brought on Gronk now. They've got to fix their issues there because Gronk, he kept freezing up. The voice didn't stop, but his face, it was a little aggravating.
Yeah.
But Gronk comes out and admits, I don't watch film. how did I not just know that? I don't watch film.
Well, I had a friend that coached in the Falcons, coached the tight ends a few years ago, and he said all he did was roll the ball out to Tony Gonzalez. He said, what you got to coach, He wasn't sure that head coach Smith knew where his office was.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
So just fun watching those guys again, analyzing and sometimes the games, they had Brett Favre on there. They were more just talking to Favre. For a while, they didn't even pay attention to the game.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey came on late. I saw some tidbits of that. I wasn't up for that. I kind of fell asleep when Patrick Willis came on, the former linebacker for the 49ers and Ole Miss. They played with Eli.
Yeah. Eli even broke down and told a story that he first time he met Brett Favre was in a pool hall drinking a beer in Mississippi somewhere.
I wonder if it was the infamous night that he got a DW. Remember, Eli got a DWI when he was there.
And not only that, but he was 17 at the time, so he confessed to his parents. I'm sure they were watching it too.
I did hear that.
That's
when Favre, because I was having a hard time listening. I was going back and forth, kind of getting ready for the show. Yeah, and Favre mentioned something about being underage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Eli was 17. He and another buddy. He snuck in, but his buddy was scared too.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. All right, so we're going to move on. We're gonna go with our rest of the NFL segment. So we're going to talk about a lot of the games in the NFL, some of the important ones, not so much as the not-so-important ones, but we'll go through that in our third segment. Remember, we've got Jason Morvan coming on. We're going to talk about fantasy, which I went from – I was the New Orleans Saints week one in fantasy, and I was the New Orleans Saints of week two in fantasy. Really, my fantasy – 2 weeks paralleled the Saints. I went from just awesome to putrid really fast. So we'll talk about that in our third segment. We're going to be right back. Remember, give us a call at 367-1240 if you've got any comments, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for a dentist in the Bayou area? Look no further than Babineau Family Dental. Dr. Todd Babineau has been in practice for 33 years and is a proud CHS grad of 77. Babineau Family Dental always accepts new patients and accepts every major insurance policy. Dr. Todd provides multitudes of services from colored tooth fillings all the way to sleep apnea appliances. Best of the test winners three times. Babineau Family Dental located at 621 Rue Dionetta behind North Lewis. Call them at 367-3739. Visit their website at drtoddbabineau.com. Or visit them on Facebook at Babineau Family Dental.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it. From signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
The dog days of summer are here, and you'll need an experienced local HVAC contractor to keep you comfortable. Call Harris Heating and Cooling. They service all brands, honor all warranties, and proudly sell Trane equipment. Andrew Harris has 22 years' experience and works 7 days a week to keep you comfortable. If you're considering replacing your system or just aren't happy with its performance, call today at 376-6221. Or visit harrisheatcool.com.
At Arsenault Ford, we know how important it is to keep your vehicle maintained and on the road.
We make it easy and safe to service your vehicle with curbside service, no contact service, and in some cases, pickup and delivery.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
If you need physical therapy, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our licensed staff is trained at the highest level to provide a customized treatment plan to give you the best results for pain-free living. Iberia Sports and Rehab has the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device, which assists the body to heal itself naturally. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia, keeping Acadiana strong and healthy. Visit isrehab.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Road. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Road and enjoy.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. The Sugarcane Festival may have been canceled, but the Quarter Tavern second annual Fay Dodo will take place Thursday through Sunday. Thursday, Chubby Carrier and Zydeco Trio. Friday night, it's Sideshow. Saturday, the Cajun Company Band. And Sunday, the cast beginning at 10, the Bad Boys at 2. Once again, Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main across from McDonald's, the best ring prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 5 to 8. Now on Thursdays, 3 to 6. Most rings half price during happy hour. Follow them on Facebook for the monthly calendar and daily pop-up specials.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Welcome back. Let's look at the rest of the NFL. So, you've got so many teams. You had a lot of teams that were 0-1 that you know are pretty good teams. I'll say Dallas was one of them. You know, Dallas against Tampa Bay really impressed me. Dak Prescott looked like he's back to the form that led him 3 years ago to 13-3. He's got weapons.
Oh, definitely got weapons. Pollard looked good, too.
Sandy. That's the thing. So, this is my question, and I'm trying to think like a GM here. Just like when I made the prediction that Latavius Murray was going to be gone, and of course I like to talk about when I'm right, not when I'm wrong.
Who does?
But when I saw Tony Jones Jr. looking really good, you start thinking, man, they can afford to get rid of Murray and, you know, save some money here.
And they made another move with that extra
money.
Yeah,
they got the corner. They got the Roby. Ended up bringing in the corner.
And he didn't look
I'm going to tell you now, Pollard goes for 110 somewhat yards.
Yeah, had a few scores too.
Ezekiel Elliott, he's got to be on the trading block. You got to think Jerry Jones is thinking, can I afford to pay a guy this multitude? I don't know what his contract is, but I know it's way up there.
It's got to be over 10 mil.
And again, I go back. You always wonder why anybody, unless you're an Aaron Jones, a Christian McCaffrey, you know, those guys that are so multi-purpose, but there's so many good running backs out there. There's just a lot of good ones. There's not a whole lot of great lockdown corners out there. There's not a whole lot of great left offensive tackles out there.
That's right.
There's certainly not a lot of great quarterbacks out there. So Ezekiel Elliott, he needs to start thinking, man, Am I trade bait right now?
Yeah, 9.6, so 10 million. Yeah.
And hey, heck of a 1-2 punch now.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the throwing of our boy from Harden.
Yeah. So you got to be looking at that. So Dak goes 23 of 27, 237 yards. Not near as it's not the Madden numbers that he threw up against Tampa Bay. But he had the running attack behind him. And again, everybody was freaking out after the Tampa Bay game, or the announcers during the game. Where's the Cowboys' rushing attack? Tampa Bay, it's all about who you're playing and how they're playing you. And again, I'll go back to LSU. Now, I do realize LSU has major concerns running the football. But when you are just lighting people up, throwing it, that usually has a reason to do with the way the defense is playing you. And the announcer, and I think it was Chris Collinsworth, I'm not positive, but when Dallas was playing Tampa Bay, they alluded to the fact that, you know what, Dallas realizes that they don't match up well with Tampa Bay inside. Their front doesn't match up with that front seven, front six of Tampa Bay. So you know what? They're kind of turning this into a flag football game. We feel like our receivers are better than your DBs, and our quarterback can get them the ball, and we're just going to spread it out and beat you that way. And there's nothing the matter with that. It's a very pragmatic outlook and way of doing things.
I think you said it earlier. It's what the defense is
it's
giving
what you. The defense is giving you. Well, the Chargers were not loading up the box. The Chargers are like, oh, my God, Dak threw for 400 yards. What are we going to do? So they play more two deep, deep zones, man under, which gives you the run. Is that a caller?
It is.
You're on the air with Bayou Sports.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Hey, I know this is just kind of a generalized statement, but don't you think that just with the rules in today's game that it's just made it more of a passing league in general?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, no, I go back to Dan Marino, and I'm a big Marino fan, and I would love to see Marino and the Dolphins with the Marx brothers and all that he had.
Harpo, Chico, and Groucho?
No, Duper and Clayton. you know, what he could have done in today's game. But no, there's no doubt that, you know, can't touch him for five. Just everything. No doubt about it. I tell you what, just the targeting rule, to me, that freaks out those DBs as well.
We just got our butts whipped Sunday, but that might have been some of the worst officiating I've ever seen. I mean, when you're a 300-pound defensive lineman and you're getting pushed into the quarterback and you grab him around his leg and then your hand goes down below his knee at some point because that's what gravity does, how can that be hit below
the knee? But you know what, Turbo? You know what? This is what's crazy is that I think by the letter of the law that it was roughing the passer. I think the rules are flawed. They're trying to take – you cannot get away from the game being subjective from an official's stance. We were talking about that the other day. I'm talking to my brother-in-law about it, and they were like, well, yeah, they're just trying to make everything objective. Well, you know what? You can't make it objective, okay? And you'll never, you know, the worst call in the history of the NFL is the Rams against the Saints in the NFC Championship game. Yeah. There's never been a worse call. And look, was that not subjective? It was subjective. So they're trying so hard to take away the subjectivity of the official. And I really think intent has to become a part of the call. And look, it's not as bad in the NFL, in my opinion, as it is boxcar in college. At least those guys aren't getting ejected. And again, I'm talking targeting now. I'm not talking roughing the passer. But no, I just think the pendulum has swung way too far in one direction, and there's a lot of things that need to be fixed.
Oh, I know I'm all for player safety, but man, it gets to a point where you really do say, "Is this football anymore?" You know, it's rough. But that brings me to why I wanted to call you, and I'm gonna hang up and listen after because I'm sure you're gonna have a good story about something, maybe not quite that this. Similar, but anyway, did you hear about the story out of Ohio with the high school referees?
No, I did not.
Well, this past week, they had a high school game in Dayton, Ohio, and apparently at one point during the game, there was an unsportsmanlike conduct called. So one of the offensive assistant coaches got really upset. He runs onto the field, confronts the referee. Well, naturally, he gets flagged also. And after the game, the referees are in their locker room reviewing their performance, which I didn't even know that happened. But I guess maybe in Ohio it does. But they were getting their review. And they went to leave. And they couldn't open the door. So they kept pushing, couldn't open the door. Three of them pushing. They finally wedge it open. The coach had taken a vending machine and blocked the door to the referee's locker room.
That's good stuff right there. That's hilarious.
Let me tell you.
Now, that guy's going to lose his job. I mean, I'm pretty certain he's going to lose his job.
If they have a camera.
I mean, because, you know, when you start bringing in the fact, the fire hazard, you know, the blow, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
Y'all, they should have pinned him.
Oh, yeah. Done that in the dorms. Penny locked him.
But just getting to that point, I was just wondering if you could share maybe any stories about any encounters you may have had with officials.
Yeah, I'll share. But before you leave, I'm going to give you some homework, okay? And look, I realize that South Park is an acquired taste. South Park attacks some of the totally politically incorrectly attacks everything that's going on in the world, okay? And a few years back, it is when the NFL adjusted their kickoff rules, they came up with an episode called Sarcastaball, okay? So when you've got absolutely nothing to do and you want to numb your brain for about 15, 20 minutes, pull up the episode South Park Sarcastaball. And I'm telling you, you're going to get a kick out of it. You're going to get a kick out of it.
All right.
All right, do that.
I'll do that.
All right. Okay.
And, so anyway, also just want to, you know, we'll maybe talk tomorrow or Thursday about a little bit about the Ryder Cup, too. Got a few
looking forward to that. Absolutely. Looking forward to talking to that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, man. Take care. Okay. Bye.
Take care, Turbo. Yeah, so.
Box call.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's
I'm looking
right.
at Turbo.
That's right.
Yeah, I had one where we went for two to beat Turlings in the state quarterfinals, and the official said we didn't get in. And I just accepted it. But what happened was the game was on TV, and the guy on the camera, the sideline camera, they're showing the replay, and he turns and looks at me and goes, "Hey, coach, you just got screwed." And I got a little upset.
Where did you throw?
But
don't you rate the referees after the games and send them to the officials?
They really don't have that anymore. No,
really?
you can call and you can complain. Those officials didn't do it on purpose. Okay,
I understand that.
It is what it is. I have had the only time I ever felt like I had officials. At one time in 30 years of coaching, 25 as a head coach, at Baker, I felt like there was an official that was in the secondary that was flat-out cheating.
Really?
Which I think is pretty good to say one time in 30 years.
Yeah.
Because, there's some coaches out there. I got an old buddy of mine down Highway 14, somewhere between Delcom and Abbeville, okay, that coached in a little community right there, a little wonderful community north of Henry.
Okay. Why'd you just...
Okay.
All right.
That...
Indian Bayou.
Yeah, I swear every week he thought that the officials were cheating.
Really?
Just flat out, thought he was getting cheated. So, and I just don't think that's a way to... You become a victim. You don't always tell our kids you don't want to be a victim in life. You don't want to be a victim. No, it ain't. No, no. It's nobody else's fault.
Right.
Don't be a victim. And if you become a whiner to officials, I feel like you have that victim mentality. So moving on real fast. So the Bucks, kill the Falcons. I say kill the Falcons. The Falcons hung for a while. Tom Brady, 24 of 36, 276, 5 touchdowns. Titans, 33. Hawks, 30. Tannehill, 27 of 40, 347. And Henry, 35 carries, 182 yards.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a 1-2 punch right there.
And he was pretty much shut out the first
Ryan week. Tannehill, who struggled so much at Miami, but Miami was really struggling franchise-wise. The former A&M player, he's found him a spot. Patriots take care of Zach Wilson's 4 interceptions. Take advantage and win 25-6. Of course, the Ravens over the Chiefs, 36-35. Clyde Edwards-Helaire just can't fumble the ball in that situation where the Chiefs are already in field goal range to win the game. Lamar throws for 239, rushes for 107. Latavius, 9 carries, 36 yards, another touchdown. Bears, 20, Cincy, 17. Less than 500 yards total offense in this game, which – I think that's good for Cincinnati fans, just saying it looks like Cincinnati can play defense, although I do know that the Bears are struggling on offense. And it looks like the Bears are going to have to go to Justin Fields, who was 6 of 13 for 60 yards because of the injury.
To Andy Dalton.
Yeah, to Andy Dalton. The Bills just kill my Fins 35-0. Broncos, 23. Jags, 13. So, as things move on, we're going to really keep an eye on these 0-2 teams. You know, Giants, Vikes. I don't think the Colts are that bad. But you've got the Colts. What's the guy with the Colts? What's the quarterback? He's got two ankle injuries.
Yeah.
The Bodum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, from Philly, yeah.
Carson Wentz. So that guy, man, he just can't catch a break. We're going to be right back after this. Thanks, Turbo. I said it again. Thanks, Boxcar, for the call. And we're going to have Mr. Jason Morvan to talk a little fantasy. I'm not excited to talk about it because I got killed this week. We're going to see how his teams did. We'll talk about Turbo's fantasy team. I don't think his did very well either. Yeah, he's shaking his head. So we're going to come back and talk about that after these messages from our wonderful sponsors right here at 107.5 FM.
Hi, this is Gabe Sanner, co-owner of Mako Restoration, the water and mold damage professionals. If you have water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business, don't hesitate to call us. Do you need help with your insurance claim? Our team can assist you with every step of the process. We offer 24/7 on-call service to our customers, and we treat each customer just like family. For more information, call us at 337-210-1211 or visit us online at makorestoration.com. That's makorestoration.com.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Looking for a dentist in the Bayou area? Look no further than Babineau Family Dental. Dr. Todd Babineau has been in practice for 33 years and is a proud CHS grad of 77. Babineau Family Dental always accepts new patients and accepts every major insurance policy. Dr. Todd provides multitudes of services from colored tooth fillings all the way to sleep apnea appliances. Best of the test winners three times. Babineau Family Dental located at 621 Rue Dionetta behind North Lewis. Call them at 367-3739. Visit their website at drtoddbabineau.com. Or visit them on Facebook at Babineau Family Dental.
We at Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialty. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it. From signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
At Arsenault Ford, we make it easy for you to purchase a vehicle that's customized just for you.
Our customer order program makes it easy. Pick your model, your package, your color, and accessories, then we'll have a special delivery just for you.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
The dog days of summer are here, and you'll need an experienced local HVAC contractor to keep you comfortable. Call Harris Heating and Cooling. They service all brands, honor all warranties, and proudly sell Trane equipment. Andrew Harris has 22 years experience and works 7 days a week to keep you comfortable. If you're considering replacing your system or just aren't happy with its performance, call today at 376-6221 or visit harrisheatcool.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Welcome back. We're here for our Tuesday segment of fantasy football with our resident expert, Mr. Morvant. Boy, Jason, man, it's amazingly how fantasy giveth and then fantasy taketh away.
You're seeing the ups and downs quick. I'm
I'm not glad you lost, but I just I'm kind of
yes,
glad
you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You know, it's funny because you know I was telling my wife, and she's like, "You're not gonna. It's not gonna be like after a loss when you were coaching." I'm like, "Oh no, baby, it's not gonna be like that." I'm telling you, you know, it was. I was just quiet, you know, after we would lose. It wasn't like I would kick the dog or, you know, become ugly to anybody, but I just didn't want to – until the win, we came back with the win, I just didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
You know, and not a fun guy to be around.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, so just to go over my – you know, my team – you know, Mahomes had, you know, a typical 30-point night, and Fournette didn't do that bad for me at almost 12 points. McCaffrey, I would have hoped in a win he could have got me more than almost 25. But my flex, DJ Chark, just he totally let me down, 2.9. And then Godwin and Higgins both get 16, but that's nothing to brag about. But Waller, Pittsburgh completely took away Waller.
Yeah, just, yeah, I was a little concerned about him going into that matchup.
Yeah,
that might be the worst he does, and it also might be the worst McCaffrey does, too. And even though he had a really good day, he just touches the ball so much.
Yes, yeah.
He's amazing.
And then, you know, Miami doesn't kick an extra point or a field goal. So Sanders, I get zero out of him. And Miami's defense, who gave up 35 points, I get two out of them. So, and then my opponent, you know, he had Brady. Ezekiel Elliott had – I was surprised he had that many. He had 17.7 points.
Yeah, and Pollard vulture some of his, you know.
We were talking about that, Jason. What do you think about it? I was just telling Turbo that Ezekiel Elliott, you know, are they going to continue to pay him $10 million if he's the second best back on that foot? And I realize I'm jumping to conclusions here. He's Ezekiel Elliott. But, you know, when you start talking bargains in the NFL and salary cap space and bringing in other guys, Ezekiel Elliott needs to start either producing a little more or you better watch it.
If you look at the running back spot, with the exception of a handful of guys, it's the most disposable position in
no
the NFL.
Doubt. No doubt.
You know,
the Denver Broncos, to me, this is just me, back when they were getting the Terrell Davises in the fifth round, and then they replaced him with a dude that I can't remember, and then people started realizing that, you know, as long as you can block up front, there's good guys to be had all over the place, man.
And I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of Pollard because, you know, and it goes back to what I told you from the beginning, that strategy, throw darts at running backs, man. Yeah. You got these guys like him that are kind of viable. I mean, he was definitely viable, you know, alone without Zeke going down this weekend. You just can't really start guys like that until you start hitting bye weeks, and then you're like, all right, so my two best running backs are on bye or whatever, so now I'm going to start Pollard. And he's viable alone. You know, you don't need Zeke out. And Madison was kind of that guy, too, at some point. And I don't know if you watched that game, but Cook started getting
– Oh, we're talking about the Vikings.
Out. Yes, and I was like, uh-oh, fire up Madison. And then he ended up coming back in. But those are two guys, Madison and Pollard, that I targeted in that 9th, 10th, 11th round, and I got them on several teams. And listen, they're just a play away. They're one play away. Madison is a play away from being a high-volume guy in a powerful offense.
And that's what you get. I got a question. Is this an anomaly? So my opponent had the Tampa Bay Bucs defense, and they scored 19 points. That's a lot of points for a defense, isn't it?
Yeah, you get one or two of those teams that kind of do that every week, and that's why I'll stream defenses sometimes, because you just find out who they're playing. You know, whoever's playing the Jets, oh, they're available. I'll take them. Whoever's playing me,
and you can just you can take them for just a $10 transaction. Is that the way?
Well, you got to bid on them.
Oh, you got to bid. Okay,
you got to bid unless you get them after bidding goes through, and when people say. You know, once it's first come, first serve, you get them for $10 on fuzzies.
Okay.
And then some leagues you get them for, you know, you get that free pickup after waiver wire pickups go through. And it'll happen a lot where I'll look on Friday and I'm like, wait a minute, that defense is available? Let me go get them. And it's basically $10 in fuzzies or free in some leagues or a dollar in some leagues. So, I mean, it's almost nothing. And I'll screen defenses like that when they're playing to my back. Aren't the Jaguars just a – not – not only they're a real life disaster, but they're a fantasy disaster, man. And that's hard to do because a lot of times when you get beat, you're getting beat a lot. You throw the ball, you get garbage time. Yep. They actually did that in week one, and it looked like Lawrence had a pretty good day fantasy wise, but then it didn't happen this week. And I mean, I was afraid. Listen to this: in one league, I was afraid of him, so I went ahead and picked up Winston for free on Friday, and one of them scored 8.1, another one 8.8.
At least you didn't drop a guy that scored 25 for the guy that scored 8.
Yeah, I didn't really drop anybody I think I had a hurt player, and I'm like, I just don't know about Lawrence this week, and I didn't want to. I had him in another league, and I was like, I don't want to.
How many points did Aaron Jones score last night? How many fantasy?
Like 40, points? Like 430. I mean, it was insane.
Four TDs.
Yeah, well, even Peyton Manning was referring on the Manning broadcast on ESPN2. He's like, man, if you got Aaron Jones in your fantasy league, he's lighting it up for you tonight.
Listen, I'm playing Big Scott in our local league. You know Big Scott?
Yes.
And he's got, going into last night, I'm up by like 70 or 80 points. He's got Rodgers, Jones, and the tight end
Hockerson?
Hockerson. I'm like, oh yeah. That, I mean, this unless they just go off. I look at the score this morning. He beats me by 9 points. God, to be kidding me, man! Like I thought that was a safe lead, but I hate going up against a quarterback or a running back that my opponent has on Monday night, or having a receiver that needs like 14 or 18 points, and his name is not, one of the studs or whatever. Yeah. You know, the stud for Green Bay or somebody like that. So I just hate that.
Yeah, because Devontae Adams had a pretty good night, 2-8 catches.
Devontae Adams had 20 without scoring a touchdown. Yeah. So if you got just an average receiver on a Monday night and you need like 14 or 15 or 18 points, it's torture. It's just torture. I don't even want to watch the game. Or if you got a big lead and the other guy has a quarterback and a running back, it's like, oh, man, I got to watch this tonight. You know, I'd just rather everything finish on Sunday.
Tampa Bay had 2 pick-sixes against Atlanta.
Okay, so that's what it was.
Yeah.
The 2 pick-sixes.
Speaking of disasters, that Atlanta offense is a fantasy disaster as well, which is normally a good fantasy team. But, you know, throw it 100 times, they just have.
Yeah, well, Matty Ice, I think he threw 3 picks. Like we said, two of them for pick-sixes.
That's right.
You've got to think about retiring, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, he's doing the commercials now with Ice-T and Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's those Tide commercials. They're all tied in because they've got something to do with cold. Tide's pushing, you know, environmentally safe stuff, so they're talking about washing in cold now. So they've got Ice-T, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Matty Ice doing commercials. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. As the Falcons are hurting right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting up there in age, though. I mean,
Boston College, he's probably in his mid to late 30s.
He'll always, on his tombstone, it'll say 28-3.
Oh, my God.
You don't think it won't?
Somebody's going to carve it in there. It better be like in a mausoleum where nobody can get to it, because somebody's going to just, and it probably won't be a Patriots fan. It'll be a Saints fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Saints fans are just as happy as Patriots fans when that happened, for the most part.
Oh, no doubt. Nobody wanted to see the Falcons.
Matty Ice is 36. He'll be 37 next year.
Now, relative to the rest of the NFL, the guy probably should retire, but relative to Tom Brady, he's not even in his prime yet, right?
What is going on? It does have a lot to do with the situation he's in, man. If Brees had those receivers last year, he'd probably be playing.
I agree. Well, the thing about Brees is, though, his arm didn't hold up. Let's face it. Tom Brady can still throw a football within, I'm going to say, 3 to 4 yards as far and as hard as he did when he was 23 years old.
It's insane.
Okay. Drew Brees, from the get-go, was not a flamethrower.
No, never was.
And he just really lost arm strength those last few years. And then that last year really just didn't. He just didn't have any pop.
Yeah.
you know, just didn't have it anymore. But, yeah, to me, it's such a combination of health. And, look, Brady has had his issues. He had knee surgery in the offseason, which was very quiet. People really didn't talk about it. You know, now with scopes, these orthopedic doctors, they can go in. They just, you know what, you got a little meniscus. A little, let me go in there and clean that up. And in a month, you're ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but yeah, just Tom Terrific is just, it's, and again, it's always going to be subjective when you're talking about the greatest of all time. I go back, I love to bring up Archie Manning. Anybody wants to talk about the one quarterback that you think that could have been great if you'd been put in that situation? I just always thought that Archie Manning was great, but he was in a bad team.
Put him on Dallas back then or Pittsburgh back then. Yeah. How good was he?
And, you know, you look at Terry Bradshaw. As much as Terry Bradshaw's talked about a great quarterback, the game has changed so much back then. Terry Bradshaw wouldn't throw the ball but about 18, 20 times a game. He was Rocky Blyer and Franco Harris were toting it for him. A little play action. And another thing, Terry Bradshaw was not, you know, he was probably a career 53%, 54% thrower.
And they check out the interceptions.
But also, receivers got beat up back then, too. They got beat up all over the field.
Different time and place.
Yep.
And, you know, the first year the Cowboys won the Super Bowl in 71, the Saints and Archie Manning beat them.
Did they?
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. But, you know, I can just remember Archie running around, running for his life.
And another one, the year that O.J. went for 2,000 yards, the Saints held him to 80.
Wow.
And that was a 14-game season, too.
Yeah, holding somebody to 80, that, you know, because 80 is a good night.
He
but
carried
still.
It 19, 20 times, too.
I always remember that the greatest sign, I say it, it's probably the third time I say it, but the greatest sign ever at an NFL football game, and I'm a Miami fan, but Miami's got the oranges, but Buffalo's got the juice.
That's like the Michigan fans. We need a new car with less miles.
That's a good
one,
too. That's a good one, too.
Okay, so I wonder if everybody that blew most their half or more of their waiver bucks on our board for me rap was happy about that performance.
Okay, so
he scored a point.
He scored a point?
For me, yeah, a point.
Okay. And that was.
So was it due to them not giving him the ball?
He had 17 carries.
Oh, really? So he just didn't get it done.
Yeah, they played a real different defense this week than they did in week one. So that had a lot to do with it. But my point about not blowing all your waiver bucks on him was there's still two other guys there, and it's a timeshare, and he values all three of them. And now he still has Hasty on some wires, and Sermon got hurt, and he kind of came off. He was hurt for a while. I said, here we go. Hasty's going to be the pickup this week. And I think Mitchell came back, but Hasty still, if he's on the waiver wire, I would take a shot at him for, you know, maybe 15% of your value, you know, $150 if you have $1,000 to bid, or 15 if you have $100 to bid. And just put him on the bench until it plays itself out. But he's been getting he got touches both weeks. He had 8.8 and then 9.9. So he's been around 10 points each week. Not bad for a guy you can get on waivers. So
no doubt.
Jeff just handed me one. When Neil Armstrong was the coach of the Bears, the banner at Soldier Field said, "We sent the wrong Neil Armstrong to the moon."
I was about to say, I didn't even know that there was a Neil Armstrong that coached in the NFL.
Me either.
That's another good one.
All right, Jason, man, as always, appreciated. Time flies. We're going to get you back on Thursday. We'll talk about our, you know, what we're looking at for the upcoming weekend, you know, maybe some good defenses to pick up, some hot folks to look at, and we'll just keep on trucking. I'm 1-1. It's better than 0-2, I guess.
Hey, man, a lot of teams are 1-1 right now. Just remember that. And listen, you don't have to be the fastest horse in the regular season. All you have to be is one of the top six.
Gotcha.
Get in the playoffs, and then you'll
see. Playoffs? Playoffs?
Just get in, baby. Just get in.
All right, man. All right, thanks, Jake.
Thanks, guys. See y'all later.
All righty. Playoffs? So we're going to be right back. Remember to stick around. We got Lee K coming on after this. with the Breakfast Club. And just a little shout-out. So, live Friday at the Quarter Tavern, Tesh Matters with Jeff is from 10 to 1. We'll be live at the Quarter Tavern. And, of course, Quarter Tavern, we got Sugarcane Festival at the tavern.
We don't need Bologna Plot. We don't need. All we need is Quarter Tavern.
QT.
We don't need it.
We got Chubby Carrier. We got Sideshow. We got Southern Cajun Company Band. We got the cast. We got Bad Boys. We got them all. Oh. They're going to be all weekend long, starting Thursday at the Quarter Tavern. So we're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Gabe Sanner, co-owner of Mako Restoration, the water and mold damage professionals. If you have water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business, don't hesitate to call us. Do you need help with your insurance claim? Our team can assist you with every step of the process. We offer 24/7 on-call service to our customers, and we treat each customer just like family. For more information, call us at 337-210-1211 or visit us online at makorestoration.com. That's makorestoration.com.
We at Hike Menvel Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indest and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menvel and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menvel Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. The Sugarcane Festival may have been canceled, but the Quarter Tavern second annual Fade Dodo will take place Thursday through Sunday. Thursday, Chubby Carrier and Zydeco Trio. Friday night, it's Sideshow. Saturday, the Cajun Company Band. And Sunday, the cast beginning at 10, the Bad Boys at 2. Once again, Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main across from McDonald's, the best ring prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 5 to 8. Now on Thursdays, 3 to 6. Most drinks half price during happy hour. Follow them on Facebook for the monthly calendar and daily pop-up specials.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
If you're suffering from a sports-related injury, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our highly trained and licensed team will work with your physician to provide a customized treatment plan to help you recover as soon as possible. Iberia Sports and Rehab is proud to partner with our local middle and high schools to keep their athletes healthy and in the game. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
So often we've talked about the NCAA and all the challenges because of all the new legislation, NIL, transfer portal, all these different things. Well, there's some legislation on the horizon that is coming to fruition due to I'm assuming this was unforeseen issues because of the transfer portal. So it's gotten to a point that a lot of these schools instead of really looking at what's out there in high school seniors, they're just looking to fill their rosters with a transfer portal.
That's correct.
And what this has, it's just created a vacuum on some of these teams. It's become haves and have-nots. Anytime you've got, let's say, a FCS player or a group of five or disgruntled whatever, but so a lot of your major schools, yeah, they're going to lose some, but they're going to get more. But some of these schools, they're losing more than they're getting.
That's right.
So the NCAA is about to come up with some legislation that's in the works where you're going to be able to add up to 7 scholarships given per year relative to how many guys you lost in the portal. So to understand, you have 85 scholarships that you can currently have total. But you can only get a max of 25 scholarships per year.
That's correct.
So if you've only got 65 guys on scholarship, so 65 plus 25, that's 75, that's
90.
No, I'm sorry. Let's say 55.
Okay.
Okay. So 55, that's 80.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've only got 55 scholarship guys after said year, you cannot fill up to 85 through scholarships. You can only offer a max of 25. What that does, they did that years ago. You know, Bear Bryant and guys like that, they would go out and sign everybody. They would sign guys just not to play for Auburn.
Yeah. I remember Johnny Majors, when he first got to Pittsburgh, signed 73 kids one year.
Yes.
That's a class with Tony Dorsett.
Yes. So you're signing guys just to stop them from going to play at Penn State.
That's right.
Or wherever. And it's a good rule, of course. That rule needs to be in place. But because of the transfer portal and the ripple effect that we constantly talk about here on the show, that a lot of this legislation causes, it's just led to some schools just being really short on scholarship players. And you really want that crystal ball to see just down the road where the NCAA is going with all this, man. It's this, the NIL, just everything.
And you know what else is an issue that had been brought up? A lot of these kids go into the portal and have no place to go. That happens a lot.
Yep. Yeah, they get bad advice.
That's right.
And you know that this has nothing to do with it, but because I just think of the purity that you've always thought of college football, and it hadn't been pure. I realize they're making millions of dollars, and I do get it that these kids, oh, they're getting a free education, but boy, these schools are making, these television contracts have just gotten everything. I don't know the answer. But when I watch, and I have a hard time saying this, and this is going to lead into my next little segment, talking about a comment by Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback and now SEC Network commentator. But did you watch Penn State Auburn the other day?
I watched a lot of it.
And look, a lot of us down here in the South, we love to take jabs at the Big Ten. They haven't, Ohio State's been there in the finals, but, you know, we always like to say, hey, football is way better down here and all that stuff. It's because of where we're from.
Yeah. If you ever notice, those Big Ten schools come south to get their skill players.
Yeah. You know, but Big Ten plays good football.
Oh,
there's
I'm not
no doubt
about it.
You know, Ohio State plays great football. Ohio State has answered. When Ohio State was just getting blistered because of their lack of speed, they said, okay, we need to go out and find these guys. Looks like Michigan's stepping up this year. You know, Penn State's got a solid football team. But what I want to talk about before I get into Greg McElroy's comments, which really ticked off a lot of Big Ten people, that whiteout for Penn State, that gives me the chills,
pretty
man.
Pretty impressive.
I'm telling you, that is what college football is all about, man. And whether it's Big Ten, Pac-12, or whatever, when I turned on that TV and I see those white pom-poms with everybody wearing white shirts. And there were a couple of people saying, oh, big deal, they're 11-11, you know, when they do that. Well, that's because they only do whiteouts when they're playing a really good team.
Yeah, big-time team, big-time game.
And I tell you, it is arguable. Is Auburn a big-time team? We don't even know that. We don't know that yet.
Was to Penn State.
And so that's where Greg McElroy comes in. Greg McElroy calls out after the game saying, you know, Penn State's nothing but a middle SEC school.
Ooh.
You know, basically it was a toss-up with Auburn. Auburn's one horrible call away from possibly tying winning that game. And that statement may be correct. I don't know. We'll see as the season goes on. Do I think Penn State is in the Alabama, Florida, Georgia air? No, I do not. So when you do start, but I'm trying to think, who do you think, even Ole Miss air? Because you got to believe that Ole Miss is the fourth best team in the SEC right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I don't see Kentucky, Tennessee. No.
Let's face it. The bottom of the SEC is not – after those four teams, Arkansas. Okay, Arkansas is showing some prowess.
Yeah,
They're
now,
showing a little currently. Bit right now. Oh, wait, A&M. I forgot A&M.
Yeah.
I forgot A&M.
Finished fifth in the country last
So now
year.
You got five. So really – is Penn State, can they play with those five teams? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Now, that's still, even if you're sixth best in the SEC, that doesn't put you in the middle. It puts you in the upper tier.
Yeah, the 50 percentile, 58 percentile.
But, yeah, but McElroy getting hammered pretty good. McElroy, boy, he's not aging well. I saw him the other boy, he's that red hair, he's losing it. I don't know, he was looking a little rough. We had a little text going back with our Manning Camp crew because he was a fixture at Manning Camp, not only as a high schooler, but then as a college player.
Okay.
And then as he come around as an analyst, you know, just kind of hanging out. Yeah, he's looking a little rough, but I don't disagree with what he's saying, but how good is Auburn? That's the big question. Because they played them toe-to-toe. We'll see that as everything unfolds. Finishing up, Major League Baseball, you got, what do we got, about 10 games left?
Yeah, 12.
10 to 12 left.
Yeah.
Depending upon, we were talking about the Cards and the Reds. The Reds have played two more games than the Cardinals. So the Cardinals will only have to play those two rainouts, evidently, if they have to.
Yeah, they have a rate. Well, they play a doubleheader with the Cubs. Yeah.
So starting there in the National League, the only – so you've still got the Phillies three back of the Braves. That's still somewhat in doubt. But if the Phillies don't overtake the – whoever loses that one, they will not
– I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
They won't make the playoffs. You've got the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yeah, that's a battle right now.
That's a battle right now. The loser of that race will be in the playoffs, is the number one wild card team.
That's right.
Right now you've got the Cardinals three games ahead of the Reds and four and a half games ahead of the Padres. The Cards do have a pretty rough schedule ahead of them, but the Reds have the White Sox in a series ahead of them. So Cardinals, I think their magic number is like three.
No, it's got to be a little more.
Yeah, it's got to be more than that. They said that on ESPN, but I don't. I misunderstood.
It's probably closer to 10.
Okay.
That's combination. Reds,
I just
losses,
wish.
I wish wins.
You'd love to see those two teams playing each other.
Yeah,
especially if you're the team behind.
And the division teams play each other 19 times during the year.
Yeah. Over in the AL, the Yankees still have some life. So you've got the division leaders are set.
Pretty much.
In the AL. They're pretty set. So you've got the Red Sox at 86-65, the number one wild card team right now. You've got the Blue Jays at 84-66, just outside of that. And then the Yankees a half game back. So instead of 84-66, they're 84-67. So they're a half game back of the Jays. So that's going to be interesting to watch as that unfolds. The A's are not completely out of it at 82-68.
Not quite.
Yeah. And, of course, I love to see those small market teams.
Oh, yeah.
Doing well.
But baseball's had a different champion just about every year in the last 10. You hadn't had a two-time
win. A lot of variables in baseball. In baseball, you know, just because you won it the year before, the bet nods aren't going to be near as strong as it is like for the Bucks to repeat.
Yeah.
Who won it last year in baseball?
Who won it last year in baseball? The Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers.
And then before that, the Nationals. And before that, I mean, they've had different winners.
Yeah. And then the Astros before that, right?
The Cubs won it in 16, 15.
I missed it by 1 year.
Or Kansas City won it.
The Cubs game, the only Major League Baseball game I've ever been to, Chicago, the 100-year anniversary at Wrigley Field.
That's the only
and they were. Oh, that's the only one I've ever been
that's
to.
That's the only Major League game you've
only
ever been
to? Only Major League game I've ever been to.
Gee.
Ever. And the Cubs were terrible that year. The next year is when they got good.
I could probably honestly say probably close to 100.
Yeah. Been to one.
Caught one foul.
Extra innings. To show you what a baseball fan I am, when it got into extra innings, I left and went to the Cubby Bar across the street.
I caught one foul ball in all those games. I've ducked out of the way of a lot of them.
Yeah, but you weren't.
A line drives.
You didn't get in the way of a player, though, did you?
Not that.
You weren't Cartman. What was the guy's name? What was the guy's
Bartman,
name?
Bartman.
Do the Bartman.
Yeah.
So, as always, we appreciate all of our sponsors, Mako Restoration, Babineau Family Dental, Harris Heating and Cooling. It's starting to get cooler now, so you might want to check out that heater. We're looking at some low temperatures coming up.
First day of fall tomorrow.
That's it. Action Specialties, L.A. Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Hike Menville Grubs and Dalbor, Iberia Sports and Rehab, Arsenal Ford, the Quarter Tavern. Remember, we got the festival coming up. United Fire and Safety, Gator Outdoors, and Gritic Electric. Give Jonas Hebert a call at 944-4547 for all of your electrical needs. That's a wrap. See you tomorrow.